This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Free Talk Live. Free Talk Live. More from Pork Fest 2020 on the last day of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. That's when you're going to hear this particular show. Although we're actually on Friday as we're recording this because we're in advance.
Yeah, man, we've been productive.
We have been. We're getting it done. It's a productive vacation here. We're having fun and being productive, which is like the best of both worlds. And so Ian and Aria in our remote studio here at the top of the hill in the beautiful Rogers Campground with Josh Sigurdsson. Did I pronounce that right?
That's correct.
Okay, good. From World Alternative Media. Josh, you and I have met here in there at like Anarchapulco, I think,
right.
And last year at Anarcho Vegas,
right?
And surprisingly, you have never been to the Porcupine Freedom Festival before.
It's
is that right?
Crazy. I know. Honestly, I do not have an excuse for this. I just have not shown up.
Are you West Coaster or something? Where are you from?
I'm originally from Winnipeg, Canada, but I've been living for a few years in Las Vegas. I just wrapped up living in Mexico for about 3 months, and I'm kind of nomadic at this point. I'm all over the place.
Now, Winnipeg, is that a province or is that the city?
It's a city. It's the capital of the province of Manitoba. But it's one of the biggest Freemasonic cities in the world and the biggest export hub.
So I don't know what's going on in that province, but I did hear in Ontario recently they've had this thing called social circles come out. Have you heard anything about this?
Yes, I've seen this. Yeah, it's another example of how if you had Black Mirror and Twilight Zone have a baby, it would be the year 2020 because people are just blindly accepting this. I mean, even if they don't accept it, generally speaking, they obey it. And, you know, it's more
because a lot of other people are obeying it, and a lot of the corporations are telling them they need to wear masks, and so it's just, it's everywhere.
It's the crowd. It's the crowd. It's people tend to follow crowds because it makes them more comfortable. It makes them feel more a part of a group, you know, accepted among society. Everyone wants to be accepted. I think people have to start accepting themselves, having more respect for themselves, rather than waiting for everyone else to be, respect them. I think it comes down to you as an individual. That's one of the bases of freedom is individual responsibility. And if more people recognize disobeying can actually lead to you being able to have more respect for yourself, I think a lot more people
so
would.
True.
Have you seen any of these bell-ringing studies where, like, people will come into a doctor's office and, you know, some people who are parts of the study will ring a bell and they'll stand up and then suddenly everyone who comes in there is standing up and they have no idea why. They just know when the bell rings they're supposed to stand up.
Right, right. Well, there's another study
that's
very
similar.
That's
the mask situation.
It is. There's a study that came out several years ago that I remember watching where they faked an alien invasion and they had a test group that was unaware that it was fake. Mm-hmm. And they were walking in the wilderness with a tour group, and they made it appear like a UFO had just crashed. And all these people were freaking out, and these green aliens came out of this spacecraft, people in costumes, of course, and they got these people together about, I think it was 3 months later, and they had one guy in the group that was an insider. He knew what it was, but he said, instead of blue, he said they were green. And then when everyone was asked after that what color they were, every single person in the group said green because they were influenced by one guy saying it was that way. And everyone just said, oh, okay, I guess that's the way it goes. And they all repeat it. And that's very similar with the masks. Most people know it's stupid. Most people are suffocating the mask. Most people don't like wearing the masks. However, they do because they feel like it's the right thing to do for society because the media told them to. Which, by the way, the media was dying just a couple years ago. And with the device of content they put forward over the last several years, they're actually getting larger viewership now.
Well, that may be true, but larger viewership isn't necessarily turning into bigger numbers because no one wants to buy advertising at the moment, so a lot of media companies are having a real tough time. But you guys are both touching on some really interesting obedience studies, basically, and these sort of conformity studies. And a lot of these studies have been done and redone and redone. So it's not like these are like some weird one-off study where, okay, we did this alien crash thing. No, these right. things have been done over and over and over again, mm-hmm. and testing how humans react to other groups of humans saying or doing a thing.
They're terrified of being different.
Yes.
They're terrified of being not exactly like everyone else. They don't want to be the black sheep or the lone wolf right. or whatever.
Another example of this, another conformity study, is where, in a similar to the one you were talking about, Aria, where there's a bunch of Confederates, meaning people that are in on the study. In fact, the entire group is all Confederates. There's only one person who is in the group that doesn't know what's going on. And so they'll like be in the group, and they'll have two different length sticks. They're clearly two different lengths, and they'll ask people whether the sticks are two different lengths or the same length or whatever, and the Confederates go around the circle, and they all say they're the same length. Well, they're clearly not.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, what does the last person, who's the actual person being studied, say?
99% of the time.
I don't know if it's 99%, but it's a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. They go along with it. They go along with the group, and they say...
Even if they know the group
the
is wrong.
The same size. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Simply because they're terrified of speaking up
of being
and being
different.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You said disobedience can help you with your internal strength and your belief in yourself, right?
Right. You know, in a lot of ways, it's about being able to sleep at night, respecting yourself. A lot of some of the core parts of depression, which so many people have, especially right now with the shutdown, mental health issues are skyrocketing.
Oh, yeah. Suicide?
Absolutely. Domestic abuse, all sorts of terrible things. And you know, one of the things that really leads to self-respect is going against the grain, being independent, respecting yourself, and, you know, that really is a leading cause of stopping issues of depression and stuff like that. So, for example, years ago, State Run Media came to me and offered me a show on their morning show. It would have been millions of viewers. And they were offering like $75,000 a year and stuff like that.
Wow.
And
TV?
I was making, yeah, it was State Run Media in Canada, the CBC.
Oh,
and
wow.
I said no because...
Actual state media. Okay.
Yeah, literally state media. Yeah. And they said, well, we'll pay you this amount. And I said, well, will I have my own say on what I talk about mm-hmm. and all that? And of course, I didn't even want to take it, but I wanted to ask. And they
sure.
said, well, no, we have writers.
Yeah.
You'll be reading a teleprompter.
Oh,
and I
man.
Said, well,
no,
I want
thanks.
To be able to sleep at night. And it was one of the best feelings, even though I was making no money, it was one of the best
right,
feelings
to
say, no, I do not want to work for you guys. And, you know, that's a part of the self-respect that I think
yeah.
people, we'd be able to conquer that mental health problem, at least to some extent, if people started disobeying more. I truly believe it.
I totally agree, and it doesn't have to be taking it to the mat. Like, you
no.
don't have to disobey everything, every time, every issue. And I say this as somebody who's done some civil disobedience over the years.
Yeah.
I produced a movie called Derek J's Victimless Crime Spree. I don't know if you've seen it.
Mm-hmm.
It's wonderful, and it's all about what you're talking about. These little acts of saying no, of committing not just disobedience, but also non-cooperation. There's
right.
I think there's a slight difference between the two. I tend to consider civil disobedience as more of like an announced event, like
mm-hmm.
I'm going to go smoke pot in a place where it's illegal, or I'm
yeah.
going to go here and not wear a mask where it's illegal, and letting people know in advance that you intend to do it, whereas like non-cooperation is when you're just doing your thing, and some goon comes up to you from the government and says you need to do X, and then you say no. So in the moment when you disobey, that's sort of like a non-cooperation.
Yeah, you have to pick your battles to
yeah.
some extent. I mean, again, it's survivalism is another part of freedom that people have to recognize. That sometimes it's better for your own freedom to give in certain ways. Now, that shouldn't be something, a pattern that you should follow, obviously. Like, for example, when I was living in Mexico recently, I would go up to the police often and get mad at them for kicking kids out of the ocean, for not social distancing in the ocean. And I was
this
getting,
was recently.
Yeah,
oh,
this
yeah.
was a couple of weeks ago, and I was getting mad about it, so I was going up to police with cameras and saying,
excellent.
Like, seriously, that's your job right now? You're making money off of taxpayers who are all out of work to arrest and extort children in the ocean. And
they were arresting these kids?
Yeah, arresting them for swimming in the ocean. So and for not walking down the beach by themselves with a mask and stuff like that.
God.
So in that case, yes, I'm going to stand up to them. They're bullies.
Yep.
But that doesn't mean I'm going to every single time. Like,
right.
I was walking down the beach one day and they said, put a mask on. And I just said, okay. I didn't put the mask on, but I said, okay. I kept walking. I could have stopped and said, you're an idiot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, I just kept walking.
Yep.
And it's not like they're going to chase me down.
Nope.
So, and if they did, then things could escalate a little bit more. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Folks can go and watch you do videos, and you were just actually interviewing some folks down the street here about disobedience as far as the masks are concerned in California. You said you're kind of floating around these days. Where are you at
yeah.
generally?
I am nowhere, really.
Okay.
I honestly, I can't really put it. I'm running to Vegas for a little while, Phoenix for a while.
Were you the one who told us yesterday that Vegas is now mandatory masks?
Mandatory masks in Las Vegas as of yesterday, which is absolutely insane because people in Las Vegas are usually pretty resistant. It's weird because it's a very, it's a lefty state.
Hold that thought.
Way.
Do you want to keep going? We can go for another second here. In moments, we'll continue with Josh Sigurdson from World Alternative Media. This is Free Talk Live at ForkFest 2020.
Bitcoin.com has launched a trading platform at local.bitcoin.com, allowing you to buy or sell Bitcoin Cash via dozens of payment methods like PayPal, Venmo, bank deposit, remittances, or meeting in person with cash. There are no ID requirements to sign up for and use the site, and all communications between buyers and sellers are encrypted. Finally, a global trading platform that respects your privacy. Visit local.bitcoin.com to get started trading Bitcoin Cash. local.bitcoin.com.
The monetary evolution comes to Las Vegas. Crypto Vegas is a one-day event featuring some of the brightest and most innovative minds in blockchain technology. Juan Galt, Anastasia Sergeyevna, Lynn Ulbricht, Jim Bell, Elise Sam, Float CEO Kingsley Edwards, and more. Tickets start at $20.20, and you can save 10% on VIP tickets using code FTL at CryptoVegasConference.com. July 18th, join Free Talk Live at CryptoVegasConference.com.
Got shaving irritation? Shave Secret Shaving Oil can help stop it. Shave Secret doesn't cost much and is an all-American product. My name is Chuck Howard, and I developed Shave Secret and pioneered its use starting back in 1991. Ingrown hairs drove me nuts for years. Shaving oil changed all that. Why put up with ingrown hair? Bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. Shave Secret provides men and women with what we believe is the best shave ever. Our proprietary blend of 100% natural base and essential oils plus a hint of menthol was designed to help eliminate shaving irritations like ingrown hairs, bumps, red rash, nicks, and cuts. We'll lose those shaving irritations. Available at Super Walmart, HEB, Wegmans, Giant Eagle, Discount Drug, Navy and Marine Exchanges, Amazon, and ShaveSecret.com. Use the code FTL for Free Talk Live and get a discount. Shave Secret, the best shave ever.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks, so it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
Did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is George Norrie from Coast to Coast AM and History Channel's Ancient Aliens. We support the amazing energy, nutrition, and skincare products from Jeunesse. Jeunesse products are designed by leading doctors in their field with natural ingredients and even stem cell technology. These products help your body perform and look better. Shop Jeunesse at GCNLife.com or call 1-844-443-6637. GCNLife.com or 844-443-6637.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. We're at ForkFest 2020. You can go to forkfest.party to learn more about the event. And you can also go to Bitcoin.com to learn more about Bitcoin. And Bitcoin Cash, cryptocurrency in general, it is a great time now, meaning to go and do that, because cryptocurrency isn't going away and probably will not go away in our lifetimes. So you really ought to take the time to go and, you know, just go through the basics over at Bitcoin.com. And they are pretty good at doing that there. But if you're not brand new to Bitcoin, you can also get the latest news headlines from their news site at news.bitcoin.com. Head on over there. Once again, it's Bitcoin.com. Ian and Aria here with Josh Sigurdsson from World Alternative Media. You can follow him on the Float app, which is a new thing, and hopefully we're going to get Kingsley and or Aaron over here at some point, because I know they're here, the founders of that, and founders also of Anarcho Vegas at some point within the next day or so to talk to them. But so somebody could just search for your name there, right, Josh?
Right, at float.app, float.app. You can find me at Josh Sigurdsson, as well as at Wham, W-A-M. Easy to find me on there.
You had mentioned before the show, I know you were talking about something. Do you want to continue whatever that thought was? I don't remember.
I should just conclude it.
We're top-notch professionals.
Yes. Broadcast professionals.
Well, okay, so regarding the mask enforcement in Las Vegas, it's quite interesting because they basically told people that if they don't wear a mask walking down the street in 120 degrees, that they can be arrested. And it's really strange because Las Vegas, well, Nevada, I should say, is in one way, as far as the state government goes, super lefty, and as far as the municipal government goes, super right wing, and it's like this weird mixture of people walking down the street with AR-15s on their back smoking weed, which I'm all for.
Yeah, sure.
And it's pretty cool, but you know, there's a huge section of the population that's super anti-police there, and then a huge section of the population that have Gadsden flags next to thin blue line flags on their vehicles, and a lot of confused people. So. But I honestly,
that's everywhere.
Well, I mean, you know, there's one loophole to this mask issue in Las Vegas, is that if you carry an alcoholic drink on you at all times, you don't have to wear the mask. If you drink all day, you're good.
Las Vegas. Legal, right? Because in Vegas, you can walk down the street with
alcohol. So, yeah, lost wages, just walk down the street from morning to night with an alcoholic drink. Get comfy, yeah.
Well, because Aria and I are planning to go to Anarcho Vegas, so hopefully we'll see you there. But my step number one is getting on an airplane without a mask, and I'm not going to put a mask on to get on an airplane.
Alaska Airlines.
I've heard that some airlines are just ignoring it, and others aren't, so I don't know what's going to happen there. We've already got tickets, so we'll see if they let me on. Hopefully we can make it there, and then hopefully we can make it to the venue without being arrested for not wearing masks, because you're not going to put one on in Vegas.
No, as soon as I get off the plane, that mask is coming off, and it's not going back on.
Yeah, so
you can call for discrimination regarding any medical exemption. So, for example, I have asthma. I was able to get on
Alaska Airlines. Me too.
Yeah, I mean, you could use any. There's lots of exemptions. The problem is, I went on a Spirit airline flight. I know I'm poor. And I got on the flight, and the woman actually told me that by not wearing a mask, I'm going to kill her mother. And she said that over the megaphone to the whole plane.
Oh, my God.
Oh, great. And I just got off an Alaska Airlines
flight. But did they let you on without a mask?
They did not let me on without a mask, I did order a drink. And, again, you can get away with it if you're eating or drinking something. So I just had rum and Coke for the entire flight and got wasted going into Las Vegas. Imagine that.
Hey, why not?
So you were able to fly Spirit without a mask?
By drinking
the entire time.
I mean, who's not going to drink on a flight anyway? I mean,
yeah.
That's hilarious.
It's already
7 hours,
enough.
Man.
Yeah.
So let's change gears, Josh. You were mentioning you've got a deadline coming up, a date to get off of YouTube.
Right.
What's happening with that? What is that?
Remember the 5th of November.
Good date.
Exactly. I knew everyone would remember it. That's why. Well, so the idea is that I think there's enough time to set a deadline for November 5th, 2020.
Yeah.
If you are in independent media, get ready by then or on that date to leave YouTube. Walk away. If everyone does it, we're going to lead millions of people to alternative platforms like Float.app, Library, BitChute. Obviously, all the alternatives have some work to do, and especially expecting a lot of people to move over to those platforms. Lots of bandwidth issues, of course. But I believe if a bunch of people did it at the same time, we could see a major walkaway. And the issue is that you can still post on YouTube, just post trailers on YouTube to your former subscribers and say if you want to watch a whole video, go over to float.app or something like that.
Nice.
So November 5th, I'm trying to get as many independent medias on board as I can. A lot of people are fighting to the very end, and, you know, I think we should leave YouTube before YouTube leaves us. And they've already kind of left us. And look, if you don't leave by, you know, willingly, they will delete you in the next year or two. Probably in the next year, you will be deleted from YouTube if you're on there and you say anything of value. So leave before they leave you, or else you won't be able to tell your audience where to go.
We've been using, I've been using Library personally as sort of a an emergency backup to YouTube. So I haven't left YouTube, but all of the content from YouTube that I post to YouTube is automatically posted to Library. They've come up with a really easy solution for this. And I believe, if I recall correctly, it'll actually ingest your whole channel's content. So if you have a channel on YouTube, and I don't remember the URL, but I'm sure if you go to lbry.com, which is their website, it's a decentralized blockchain-based video hosting service. It's amazing. It's actually the guy who runs it was sitting over at this table over here the other day.
Right.
And great stuff. So you pop your YouTube channel into their system, and they just start ingesting all your YouTube videos. And the Freekeen YouTube channel is the one that I run. It had over 900 videos over a decade's worth of content that they had to ingest, and they did. And now every time I upload a video to it, it automatically copies it over to the Library system.
Is
so it's protected.
Is there a limit for the length of the video? Because I know I have about 1,600 videos. I did the backup. I saw about 973 show up on Library. I think that it might have some limit because I've done videos over 4 hours before and stuff like that. But, you know, I honestly, all this stuff is going to be repaired and fixed as they get the demand. The more people that go on these platforms, the more people invest in those platforms, the more people will be able to be reached by that platform, the more popularity there is. I've been on YouTube since it was on the sixth page of Google search results for streaming sites. I've watched them since there was only a couple hundred videos on the site. And I know good sites when I see them. And honestly, I've seen Library is awesome. I do believe in Float long term. BitChute has some work to do, but, you know, they all do.
I like Float. I'm on there, but I haven't yet consistently been on there just because I've got, you know, we got all these different social media, right? And I like the idea of just posting in one place and then having it go to different places. So I'd really like to be able to automate my posts to Float. So I'll talk to Kingsley about how that's how those options are coming.
Yeah, and that can be done. And also, one of the number one things for me is reaching people that disagree with me. And there's been a lot of examples of echo chambers in the alternative sphere over the years. And I really do believe that it's open for anyone. If you're a makeup artist, if you are doing cat videos, if you're a gamer, and then people like us that talk about the message of freedom. I think that's important. Everyone should be able to be reached by this content.
Yep, and one of the things I like about Library is you don't have to be an investor with money. You can just run the software and support the network of what they're doing over there.
And they give you credits for doing so.
That's true.
So I mean,
that's true.
And there's no reason not to.
That is the really cool thing about Library is they are actually paying people. You can actually charge to watch videos a very small amount of cryptocurrency. And you know, unlike YouTube,
you can charge as much as you want.
True. But unlike YouTube, which is just like arbitrarily decides whether they're going to monetize you or not, or demonetize you at any random point or take you down. So it's very important. I'm glad to hear you're doing this, Josh, and I hope that we'll continue to talk to you in the future.
I appreciate it. Thank you very much.
Check him out. World Alternative Media. He's Josh Sigurdsson. We got more coming up here in moments from ForkFest 2020. Go to forkfest.party. Free Talk Live.
Do you want more businesses accepting Bitcoin Cash and Dash? Now, with AnyPay, you earn passive income for every purchase at those businesses. Finally, a financial incentive to spread Bitcoin Cash and Dash. You made it happen, so you receive the rewards. Download the AnyPay Cash Register app and add your cryptocurrency wallet addresses. Then, install it at a real-life business and tell us what you did at AnyPayInc.com. AnyPayInc.com.
The next generation wallet is coming from Divi. In just a few taps, you'll be able to send, earn, spend, and exchange digital money in seconds. Send money around the globe with only a swipe. Instantly exchange between Divi, Bitcoin, and fiat right in the mobile app and withdraw directly to your bank account. Divi already offers the first one-tap solution for earning passive income with crypto. Multi-tiered masternodes allow everyone to partake in the network. Visit DiviProject.org. DiviProject.org.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Global coronavirus cases have now exceeded 10 million. It's a major milestone in the spread of the disease that's killed nearly 500,000 people in 7 months. In Texas, Florida, and Arizona.
It's clear across the Sun Belt that there's something happening, particularly among younger Americans, and that's why we fully support Governor Abbott's decision to close bars and limit restaurants.
Vice President Mike Pence on CBS's Face the Nation. But in New York, Governor Andrew Cuomo says the death toll fell to 5 on Saturday, the lowest number that New York State has recorded in more than 3 months.
This is a virus. It doesn't respond to politics. You can't tweet at it. You have to treat it.
Governor Cuomo on NBC's Meet the Press. This is USA Radio News. Black Lives Matter protests are continuing across the country. Police in Kentucky say a suspect is in custody after the death of a 27-year-old man who was fatally shot amid protests over the killing of Breonna Taylor.
What I hear is a concern and a frustration that I have felt as a person who's been stopped by law enforcement 18 times in the last couple decades, including this year. What I hear in the protesters is enough already. Let's get to the table and get something done.
Senator Tim Scott joining CBS's Face the Nation. Kansas State football players say they will boycott all team activities until the university creates a policy that would expel any student for racist actions. The request comes after a tweet by a student mocking George Floyd's death. The House has passed a sweeping police reform bill. The legislation will end qualified immunity, which protects officers from lawsuits. It also bans chokeholds and no-knock warrants. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Warning, if you're drowning in debt you can't afford, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to pay it all back, because you don't. What the credit card companies don't want you to know is that there's actually a way to get debt-free without paying off your entire debt or going bankrupt. If you have $10,000 or more in credit card debt, you now have the right to let us settle that debt for a fraction of what you owe. For free information, call Credit Associates now, 1-800-900-8407. We'll even show you how much money you could save. If you can't afford to pay off all your debt, do not let the credit card companies trick you into thinking that you have to. Call Credit Associates now for free information on how to get debt-free faster than you ever thought possible without debt consolidation or bankruptcy. We depend on your success and offer a guarantee, so there's no risk. For free information, call now, 1-800-900-8407. That's 1-800-900-8407. 1-800-900-8407.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live, and we are at ForkFest 2020. On when you're listening to this, it'll be Sunday night. And for
so
us,
the Porcupine Freedom Festival will be over.
The Porcupine Freedom Festival is over at that point, but ForkFest, which is the decentralized alternative to the Porcupine Freedom Festival, will be continuing for another week. So you certainly have time to get up here. Go to forkfest.party. You can learn more about the event as we continue. We're actually recording this on Friday evening at this point, and we scheduled this recording with a young lady, Laura, who is here visiting from St. Anselm College in New Hampshire. She is studying libertarians, apparently, or personal freedom. We'll get into that exactly in just a moment. But I do want you to know about AnyPay. If you're looking to accept cryptocurrency like Bitcoin or Bitcoin Cash, Dash, even Bitcoin SV, AnyPay can help you do that at your local business or even halfway across the world or whatever. You're taking internet purchases, they can do that too. They make it super easy. They've got the AnyPay Cash Register app. You can go to AnyPayInc.com, AnyPayInc.com, and that is where you can learn more about AnyPay, or just go straight to the Google or Apple App Store and download AnyPay Cash Register. You can get it set up within moments, and you're accepting cryptocurrency. It's super easy, so check out AnyPay Cash Register. Ian and Aria here. It's a beautiful day, and coming into the evening now, sunny, cool, here at Rogers Campground. And we are here with Laura. Laura, welcome to Free Talk Live.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, great to have you here. I gotta say, I admit, I noticed you were wearing a mask, and I thought, who's that over there? And turns out you have a big sign on your back, or you did on your backpack, mm-hmm. that said, ask me about my research. So I'm going to ask you, now that we're on the air, tell me about your research.
Absolutely. So I am doing a project with Dr. Sorens at St. Anselm College.
That's Jason Sorens. He's the founder of the Free State Project.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So we came up with this project together, me and him and another professor, basically looking into what structure of government best protects individual freedoms. And the main, like, axis, I guess, that we're looking at is decentralized versus centralized. Mm-hmm. So I think there's an understanding and plenty of arguments that a decentralized government is more conducive to protecting people's freedoms. But I was just interested to explore why that is and whether the benefits of that are inherent to decentralization or if there's any role that the central government has in protecting our freedoms.
Interesting question. Okay, so your goal here at the Porcupine Freedom Festival is to interview as many people as possible on a series of questions regarding that?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay, great.
Cool concept.
Yeah, and you've got your friend Lauren in the background helping you out,
taking notes.
Thanks, Lauren, for that. So would you like to, I don't know, ask us the questions and we'll just kind of talk about them on the air?
I would love that, yes.
Okay, cool. And what year are you in school?
So I'm a junior.
Uh-huh.
I'll be a senior next year.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Go right ahead.
Okay. So the first thing I'm asking people is if you identify as a libertarian or something else.
Technically, at the moment, I identify as a Republican.
I don't know if that's how you identify versus how your voter registration is. Isn't there a difference between that?
I don't know, man.
I want to say there's a difference between that. I registered as a Republican because... And I've been a Democrat as well. I've also been a registered Libertarian. Because the Libertarian Party in New Hampshire had ballot access in 2016. Mm-hmm. At that time, I was a registered Libertarian. Prior to that, I'd been a registered Democrat. And then they lost ballot access at the end of, I think, 2017. There's these rules in New Hampshire about third parties. They make it very hard, as you may already know, to keep ballot access at the same level as the Republicans and the Democrats. So because the Republicans in Keene, where we live, are particularly weak, they barely even exist, we decided, okay, well, if we're going to join one or the other, it's easier to get involved on the Republican side because they basically, literally don't exist. They're all really old and they don't run for office anymore or anything like that. So I figured, all right, I'd rather run as one of the two major parties, and if I'm going to run for office, I only have to pay $2 instead of trying to go out and get a bunch of petition signatures, which is a huge hassle, especially with COVID right now. So I wouldn't say I identify in any way.
No, I mean,
as
to give a real answer, I'm an anarcho-capitalist. I say that mostly for shock value. I mean, really, I'm a voluntarist, but... anarcho-capitalist is generally the go-to term that I use.
I prefer voluntarist or voluntarist, but I will say that I will accept the label libertarian. I mean, if somebody asks me, are you a libertarian, I'm generally going to say yes, but I may qualify the statement by talking about voluntarism because
sure.
Libertarians... Well, they're pretty
different. It's a loaded letter. I mean,
yeah.
It's a loaded term.
Yeah, they're pretty different in a lot of ways, as you'll probably find out talking to some of them here today at ForkFest and ForkFest. So did that answer your question?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. And a lot of people did qualify their answers today, so it's just interesting to hear, you know, like libertarianism can be so broad, like people have their own identification.
Mm-hmm. All right. Question two.
All right. So in your opinion, what government structure do you think is more conducive to individual freedoms? Centralized government or a decentralized government, understanding that it doesn't have to be one or another. It could be just a higher degree of one or the other.
Could it be zero?
That's an answer as well.
Okay.
That's the answer I got to go with. I mean, no degree of government is going to achieve any of these protections of individual liberty. I mean, they exist literally counter to the protection of individual liberty.
Well, yeah, and I think to clarify on zero, if somebody wants to have their own government system that they, you know, like if they really need somebody to tell them what to do, they could hire somebody. I bet there's someone out there, like, you know, a dominatrix or something like that, who would just love to get paid to tell somebody what to do.
Yeah.
But I'm not interested in having strangers try to tell me how to live my life. So I guess if you're going to have a monopoly on violence, which is what the state is at its core, then having a more decentralized one is better than having a more centralized one, in that, for instance, like in Keene, if it weren't the federal government, if we could snap our fingers and tomorrow the federal government disappeared, well, there would still be people calling themselves government. There's the state of New Hampshire people, and then there's the city of Keene people, and here we're the city of, or town of Lancaster or whatever.
Yeah.
So at least in Keene, I know where the city councilors live. I know where, you know, I can find these people. Unlike the federal government, which is 1,000 miles away, they don't know me, I don't know them, and I can't, you know, connect with them in any sort of meaningful way. So I would say, if I have to answer within the paradigm of the question,
sure,
decentralized is better.
Sure. Fantastic.
I would largely agree. I'm not sure that, you know, being able to actually go to your city council person's house and actually, you know, protest there as opposed to at the Capitol building or whatever.
No,
really,
justice, no
effective
sleep.
I mean, but was it effective? Did it achieve anything? I don't know.
It can achieve, if you give these people a hard time, whether it's at their homes or in some other way, via peaceful
sure
means, it will achieve at some point. They're just going to quit. They're going to, you know, re-election time is going to come up. They'll be like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. They don't pay me enough for this. And certainly in New Hampshire, they don't pay you enough for it. It's like $100 a year to be a state senator or, you know, state representative. So at some point, if people are just ripping you to shreds, it's going to be stressful. And those people are going to just, most of them, they're going to walk.
What about other aspects of decentralization? I mean, we touched on local versus federal and all of that, but mm-hmm, what about, like, direct democracy via blockchain technology or something like that versus a centralized authority?
Yeah, I mean,
to me, they're equivalent. I mean, the mob is going to hang you just as much as the tyrant.
Yeah, that's true. All right, next.
All right, next question. Do you think that the government is ever justified in collecting taxes from citizens? And if so, under what circumstance?
If they're voluntary, they can collect whatever they want.
But then they're not taxes, right? So sort of the definition of taxes,
sure,
is that it's not voluntary. And, you know, when you say government, what you really mean is just a group of strangers. You know, they say they've had their elections and such, and that somehow justifies what they do to people, and it doesn't. And whether we're talking about the police murdering people, which is the... that's the end, ultimately, of what every government rule or law or system imposes.
I mean, they'll kill you for selling cigarettes.
That's right. And they did that to Eric Garner in New York City.
Or having a tail light out.
Uh-huh. And so, ultimately, what they're killing you for is not obeying.
Yeah.
Okay? If they were to come up to the dude with the cigarettes and said, hey, hand those over, you're under arrest, and he went ahead and did everything they said, then he probably would have survived it. But anytime you say no to the state, then you are risking them just murdering you right there in the streets. We've got more coming up with Laura from St. Anselm College in moments. This is Free Talk Live at ForkFest 2020.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
We all need to do our part.
And show that we care.
Look, man.
I wear a mask to protect you.
You wear a mask to protect me.
Let's all wear a mask to stop the spread of coronavirus and save lives.
Good reasons for the public and business owners to wear and offer face masks. And here's more good reasons. Get 100 disposable face masks for only $36.99. Or 50 disposable masks, only $18.99 from sunny-bag.com. The best value of level 1 disposable face masks or high-quality N95 face masks anywhere. Plus, get free shipping on all orders over $35. Choose your level of protection and see your selections at sunny-bay.com. Prices are low, but supplies are limited. Get details and order at sunny-bay.com, a Biomed DB design company. Go to sunny-bay.com for disposable or N95 face masks. Ask about volume discounts available for all businesses. Just click sunny-bay.com. That's sunny-bay.com.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech carbine upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Has your body ever gone low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Now more Free Talk Live. Call in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 855-450-FREE.
Free Talk Live at Porkfest 2020 on, for us, Friday. For you listening, it's Sunday. We got interesting people to talk to, and apparently we're kind of being interviewed on our own show here, which is a fun little reversal. I like doing experimental stuff like that here on the radio. Ian and Aria in our remote studio at the top of the hill in the beautiful Rogers campground. It's actually a little warm here at the end of the day, a little warmer than it was.
Yes, I mean, there's earlier. No breeze now, so...
Nope. Crypto Vegas, Anarcho Vegas coming up. Hey, if you can't make it out here in the next week to hang out with freedom-minded folks, because, again, ForkFest goes through July 5th, you definitely want to get out to Vegas for Crypto Vegas and Anarcho Vegas 2020. There are going to be a ton of speakers at these events. They're dual events, and so one happens on one day, the other happens on another day. So it's July 18th and 19th. $20.20 for a daily ticket. So if you want to go to both, you got to buy two tickets. $20.20, that is super affordable for any convention. That's the cheapest ticket for a convention I think I've ever heard about. So go to anarchovegas.com. From what I understand, it's probably a good time to go to Vegas as far as like the prices are concerned, because they are desperate. They need people to show up into this town. CryptoVegasConference.com or anarchovegas.com. And you can use code FTL to save 10% on your VIP tickets. Free Talk Live is expected to be there as long as we don't get arrested leaving the airport for
which
not wearing masks.
May or may not be likely.
Yeah, we'll see. Only one way to find out.
If we do get arrested, we will video it, so there'll be that.
Yes, that's true. When we get out is a whole other question. So anyway, Ian and Aria here. We got Laura with us. She is from the St. Anselm College, and you've been asking us questions about just generally sort of being a libertarian, opinions on decentralization versus centralization and personal freedom. So where do we leave off?
Sure. So I just asked about taxes, and this next question is related to that. So hopefully you'll see the connection. It's a hypothetical question. Mm-hmm. You are certain that your friend will die. So maybe you can imagine the situation for each other. Okay. If they cannot get to the hospital and you have no other transportation available to you other than a neighbor's car, mm-hmm. who is a stranger. So you don't have an ambulance that could come pick them up. You don't have your own car, but somehow you have the access to the keys of this stranger's car. Is it permissible to steal their car in order to save your friend's life?
Ooh, that's an interesting moral question.
I would say yes. It's a soft yes. I mean, and you know, it's pointless to endlessly debate a question like that. And I mean, you'll find libertarians all around the campground who would love to do nothing more than that for the rest of the entire mm-hmm. weekend. But in that situation, your friend is dying. I'm taking my friend to the hospital. End of story.
Yeah, and this kind of reminds me of a question we've discussed in the past about like a hurricane situation. You know, there's this disaster going on. You're hungry. You're trying to get out of this place. Everything's abandoned. You can't go into the store and purchase something, but there's something in there that, you know, like a loaf of bread or whatever that you could take to sustain yourself or whatever. Do you do it? And my answer back then was, regrettably, yes, but... Yeah. And the yes, but in this circumstance is I would want to make it right after the fact.
Sure.
So, you know, there would be a cost to that person of whatever inconvenience, you know, they suffered from not having the car, the surprise that they felt or the anger or whatever emotions came up. You know, if they like walked outside of their house and saw you peeling away, you know, from their front driveway, that's probably a little frustrating. So, you know, the first thing I would want to do after doing something like that would be to come back to that person and say, what can I give you to, you know, to make this right? I didn't have time to come by and ask you. It was a life or death situation.
Sure.
Odds are the guy's going to be like, no worries, right? Because they care about other people too. But if not, you know, if he's super poor and he couldn't afford the gas or whatever, he might be like, $50, we're good. You know, so to let that person put the price out there on what that was worth to him, whatever sure. that wrong was. Because libertarians believe in restitution. Meaning
well,
that,
some of them.
True. The libertarian sitting at this table, I'm going to presume you agree with restitution.
Restitution right? is impossible. You can never make up for lost time.
No, that's true, but you can make up for some amount of frustration with money.
Sure,
right?
you can reach an agreement with a yeah. alleged victim. I like the question, though, and I see
yeah,
the philosophical
good.
Roots of it. Mm-hmm. Being a Nietzschean, I consider morality to be a construct of the middle class. It's a luxury for people whose lives are comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I would disregard the morality of the situation entirely if it came down to that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have the luxury of sitting around debating endlessly whether or not it's moral for me to let my friend die or to take this car.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Sometimes you just have to make a choice.
Yeah, it was a great question.
I agree. Yeah. Okay, so is it okay to move on?
Yeah. Sure.
All right. So the next two questions are about rights. So basically I'm asking people, what negative rights, if any, do you think that all people are born with? And what positive rights, if any, do you think all people are born with?
Can you define those two terms? We've
sure.
talked about this before, but I'd rather have you define them.
Absolutely.
Because they're confusing.
Yeah, yeah. It's stumped a couple people, and it is difficult. The example I've been giving out is that you have a positive and negative right to life. So in the negative sense, you don't have the right to kill me. I have a right to live without anybody interfering with that right, but I'm not owed anything. Versus my positive right to life means that I am entitled to some service that would keep me alive or some good. So maybe food or health care or clean water. It establishes an obligation for somebody else to
so
me.
So negative rights are like, leave me alone. Positive mm-hmm. rights are, somebody's got to provide a thing for me. I have a right to X.
Exactly.
Okay.
All right. So
well, I think that's pretty easy then.
With that in mind, can you re-ask the question?
Sure. Okay. So basically, what negative rights are all people born with, if any, and what positive rights are all people born with, if any?
Good question.
I would say no positive rights. I mean, those are entirely social constructs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of nihilistic in the sense that an organism that can't sustain itself sort of doesn't have the right to continue its existence.
I'm going to say that all rights, certainly I agree that positive rights don't exist at all, so you're not born with them, and I think that you are also not born with any negative rights, because rights are a human concept, and they're a good one. Negative rights are a great human concept, just like property is an excellent human concept. And these are things that we've come to agree upon generally, right? There are some people who don't believe in property. There's some people who don't believe in rights. But for the most part, because we agree on these things, these basic precepts of how to interact with other people, we have a better life. We have less murder, you know, we have less destruction, we have better cooperation and better competition as a result of that. Because we've agreed on the idea of negative rights at some level between most people. So no rights exist, but I support negative rights.
Mm-hmm. All right. Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
So the next question is, to what extent is the federal government justified, if ever, in protecting civil rights from potential harm done by state governments? So an example I've been giving out is if there are variations from state to state in terms of marijuana usage and, you know, your right to grow marijuana, do we think that if we feel like that should just be legalized, right, should the central government, the federal government, step in to say it's legalized state to state, or should we leave it up to the states to decide, even if that comes with the risk of the states infringing on somebody's right to grow marijuana?
Within the context of the question, I think I would have to answer that it would be best for the states to decide that. I would prefer no government decide that, but within the context of the question, I would say states govern.
Governments. So here we are on the decentralized topic again, and yes, absolutely, state governments, again, they shouldn't exist at all, but if you're going to have governments, having choices is always a better option. So you know that there's going to be some places where cannabis is outlawed. You know there's going to be some places where your right to choose an abortion for yourself is outlawed, and there are going to be places where those things are not outlawed. And that's a good thing, because it gives, in a place where they have, where people have freedom to choose which place to go to, right? Like as long as they're not locked down and in prison, like in North Korea or something, they should be able to make a choice about, well, I'd rather live in a place with no abortions and no this and that, or I'd rather live in a place with total freedom or as close to total freedom as we can have. So yeah, more choices, better. Federal government, even if they make what seems like the right choice in the moment, the aggregation of power to that entity isn't worth it. It'd be better to have 50 different options for people to choose. And then people could be in a place that's more appropriate for them, that they get along with more people and they agree with more people. Because it's pretty clear that people don't get along and they're not going to get along. And so why continue the experiment? Why keep trying to have Trump supporters getting along with people on the left and vice versa? And of course, libertarians are out there somewhere else. We don't want to deal with any of these people. So, yeah, that's why there's this migration, right, with all these folks, many of whom are here visiting and maybe going to move up here, because we see value in concentrating people who believe in freedom all in the same place. So maybe we can change the system in a way that can make it even more free. New Hampshire is already pretty free, but we'd like to do better.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. Yeah. So the next question is really similar to that, but it's about guns. So there are obviously different restrictions from state to state in terms of gun ownership. Do you feel that you should be able to move to a state with fewer restrictions? Should you have that freedom?
Absolutely. We'll come back to it. We'll come back to it here. I'll have you re-ask it in just a moment as we continue. Hour two is next. More with Laura, the student from St. Anselm College. We're Free Talk Live at ForkFest 2020.
Remember when you first heard about Bitcoin? How long did it take you to realize this little project would soon change the world? You kind of wish you had gotten involved sooner? Well, now is your chance to be a part of the next revolution in money. Intercoin is working to finally make crypto go mainstream. It's designed to be scalable enough to support everyday payments and even elections without the state. Bitcoin was originally supposed to be a peer-to-peer cash system, the way we would all pay one another without having to trust any third party. But instead, over time, it mostly became a store of value. That's because every 10 minutes, the Bitcoin network must put all transactions into a block, and that block can only hold so much. If crypto is to become mainstream, for people to use it for everyday payments, we need a new architecture, one that is as secure as Bitcoin while being far more scalable. Check out intercoin.org to find out more and maybe pick up some of those coins for yourself.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
$1,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.